Welcome to the Refuse Ordinary podcast. I'm your host, Tamara, and I'm so glad you've decided to join us on this journey of discovering who God is and who we are in Him. We are so excited to share with you today another class from our full-time School of Transformation. Today's topic is called Faith in Tough Circumstances, taught by Stephanie Mumby. We hope this class will equip you in your walk with Jesus.
So after George died, I was really, really angry, surprisingly, because I was convinced that Jesus had told me that he was going to live. Like one night in my hot tub, I was out there late at night looking at the stars and praying and crying and just doing kind of like, that was like my survival routine, right, through that season. And I felt like, if you know the story of Esther, where the king extends the scepter to her and says, okay, tell me what you want. And I felt in that moment, that night, that God had like extended the scepter to me and said, you can ask for anything you want and I'll give it to you. So I asked that George would live. And I felt like he said he would. And like I still don't think I imagined that moment, but he's dead, right? So after George died, I was very angry and standoffish and not really wanting anything to do with having, you know, Jesus come close to me. And so kind of in that wrestling, I finally said, like, what's up? What's the deal? You know, you said this, I still think you said this, but you let him die anyway. And his response to me was, you're not wrong, I did say that. But you also prayed the greater prayer, Lord, your will be done. And it was like, okay. So in that moment, I had to decide, is he evil or is he good? Because this, if you remember, this is like a couple of days after George died. This is not me now, 3 years later, where I've seen like good things come out of you know what God has done through a hard circumstance. I'm not looking at it through that perspective. I'm just seeing the fact that I'm alone, my kids are alone, we're on our own, and he took away the one good thing in my life. Right? Is he evil or is he good? Because he answered my prayer and said, yes, he can live, but then also answered my other prayer, Lord, your will be done, and decided that it was actually better for me if I didn't have a husband and better for my kids if I didn't have a husband, which doesn't fit. You know what I mean by that, right? And I don't know if you can quite imagine yourself in my shoes in that moment, but if you can, even a little bit, you can understand that, like, that was an incredible, I don't even know the right words, but like an incredible challenge for my mind to wrap itself around. Like, so are you good or are you evil? And if you're good, then that must mean good stuff's going to come out of it. But then there's always this, like, sort of dark side of that, which is that God actually just wants you to be alone. Or he could have healed him but didn't. And so he wants you to just sort of suffer so you can have better faith and be a better example to people. Right? You see how you might think things like that, right? Definitely thought things like that. And so I had to decide. I had to decide, is it black or is it white? Because I can see the black side of the white and I can see the white side of the black, if that makes any sense, right? It's kind of the same coin. So he's gonna use my circumstance for his glory and do things through it and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But also I'm still then walking through life by myself with four kids. Or he took it away, he's evil, but he's probably still good enough to kind of take care of me. So when we're in these moments, we kind of actually just have to decide, is he good or is he not? Obviously, you guys know what I decided, right? I decided that he is good. And And that meant or means that every part of my life now has to be filtered through the decision that I made that he is good. So every time things are hard, because I'm on my own, then I still have to filter every hard circumstance through the decision that I made that he is good. Does that make any sense? So like even things like my car getting smashed this last couple of days, right? It's like, great, just what I need. Another overwhelming circumstance that Jordan would have actually just taken care of and I wouldn't really have had to worry about it. So now that has to be filtered through he's good. That I prayed the greater prayer, Lord, your will be done, means that if he's good, he's going to take care of it and me in this circumstance that would have been way easier if George was here. So in your life, right, when you're in the middle of things that are really difficult, or you know that God could step in and do something and change something for you, right? You have to decide, is he good or is he not good? We can't, there's no gray area on this one. It's not like he's good sometimes. Like if you think like the mythology, right? Greek and Roman mythology, right? Those gods were temperamental. Sometimes they were good and sometimes they were bad. Sometimes they were unselfish and sometimes they were selfish. God is not, he's one thing, and that one thing is he's good. So then every circumstance that we find ourselves in has to be filtered through the acknowledgement that he is good despite what I can see. Despite the pain that I find myself in, despite not knowing what the future holds. And for you guys, you know, he might bring you into a place that, or a season that you don't understand what he's doing. You can't see your way forward. All right, so I realize not every circumstance is as extreme as mine, but you can't see your way forward. You don't know what's gonna happen on the other side of this season. You know where you're at. You know the good parts of where you're at. You know the parts that are hard for you, but you don't know where you're going. Does that make sense? Right? Like, I don't know what God is going to do in 6 months and if this is going to be worth it or not. And so you kind of have to decide, is he good or is he not? Can your prayer for this season, whatever season you're in, be, Lord, your will be done? That's an easy prayer to pray, but it's actually the hardest prayer to pray if you really mean what you're praying. Because it means that you don't get to decide the outcome. That's why Lord, your will be done supersedes the heal my husband prayer. Because I don't, now that I've prayed that, I don't get to decide the outcome. But actually that prayer, Lord, your will be done, is one of those prayers that we're supposed to be praying on a regular basis. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. But we don't want to pray those prayers because it means that we're going to put God to the test and we're going to find out that we have to walk through things without knowing where we're going or what the outcome is going to be. So if it's, I mean, I'm just going to throw this one out here, because it's pretty common. So if you've decided, I'd like to be here for another 2 years because I think that's probably all I'm going to need, right? If that's actually your plan, I have no idea about it, okay? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. If you've prayed, or if you've decided, I'm going to just be here forever because I think this is what I need from life, right? If you pray, Lord, your will be done, that means all your chips are on the table. And you're waiting to see what the other player has, right? Do you have a winning hand or not? Is your plan the plan he's going to go with? Or is he going to play his hand and find out, and you find out that what I thought I had, I don't actually have, and it's going to be something completely different than I, you know, figured it was going to be. So the idea of actually having faith is very much tied up in that, the question of, you know, when you pray, Lord, your will be done, if you pray, Lord, your will be done, do you actually mean that? And if you do pray it and he answers it in a way that doesn't make sense to you, can you decide that he is good despite whatever it is that you're in the middle of or whatever's coming? Am I making sense? This is part of the growing up experience when it comes to growing up in Jesus. When we're little in the Lord, he is going to show us who he is in ways that feel good to us. Right? Like, you're going to have really awesome experiences with him, you know, in terms of like of worship, for example, or he's going to speak amazing prophetic words over your life, or he's going to just send all these supernatural circumstances, you know, your way, and you're going to be like, "Wow, Jesus is real." And then as you begin to grow, that idea of discipline is going to start coming into your life. Because he's going to want to start sifting through the things that are in your heart and the things that are in your mind and the ways that you operate. And he's going to start sifting, meaning he's going to get rid of the stuff that's not supposed to be there. And then one of the ways that he likes to do that is through circumstances that we don't understand, where we actually have to choose to trust him despite what we can see and what we can control. That's part of growing up, is that idea of blind faith. So when we look at the idea of discipline, the writer of Hebrews says, "You haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood." Mm-hmm. Right? He's talking about sin, but it's like you haven't fought through the stuff that's in your soul yet to the point where you're like half dead. Right? But the Lord is going to bring you to those points, those moments of agony. He will. He will bring you to moments of agony where you have to decide, "Lord, your will be done," or "I don't want to do this anymore." And you've seen him do it recently, right? Where people have made the decision that "I don't want to do this anymore. It's too hard." And we watch. But we haven't yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, right? Maybe some of you have, or maybe some of us have, right? Where it's like, I have to decide, is my value system what I can get out of life, out of this world? Right? The moments of pleasure where I get what I want out of life, right? Because that is what feeds the sinful nature. The idea that life is to feed me good things. Okay, I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't have good things. I'm saying the idea of I'm going to get what I can get while I can get it, right? That is how we grow up in this world. The idea that I will get what I can get while I can get it. All right, I'll get all the pleasure I can. I'll get all the money I can. I'll get all the good experiences, the vacations, the cars, the friends, whatever it is, right? I want life to be for me. And then Jesus is coming and he's like, no, lay your life down. Lay your life down for me. Make it about me. Make it about what I want. Make it about my plan for your life. Make it about, Lord, your will be done. And so now we have a battle. What I want what I can get out of life. And Jesus is like, no. I want you to have what I can give you in life. But that means you've got to let go of what you can get out of life. And so there's this thing, and it's like this pull, right? Agony of the soul is what it can come down to. And he puts us in situations that squeeze every last bit of even sometimes hope out of us until our own hope dies and our hope is only in him. Sounds really exciting, right? Who wants to be a Christian? Me. Right? But that's part of what it takes to become mature. And it's not not that every circumstance comes to this point, but there are going to come points where he's like, listen, this comforting behavior you have, or this comforting thought process you have, or this mode of operation that you have that makes you feel better based on what you can control, right? For me, one of those really big areas was the crazy control of being an obsessive compulsive germaphobe. Luke walked me through a lot of that inner healing, and he knows, you know, how many years and how many horrible circumstances and how my marriage and my family almost fell apart because I was so controlling out of fear. And Jesus brought me to this point where I was so miserable, I actually wanted to die. If I could have just died, I would have chosen death, because this idea of resisting to the point of shedding blood, like, that was playing out in my life. I was either going to die or I was going to surrender the control. Because I couldn't have both. Couldn't have Jesus and couldn't have the fear and the control. I'll tell you that story maybe a little bit more sometime. Right? But he's going to bring us to those points, and he's going to use circumstances to do it. The germ thing finally came to a head for me when my fear and my chaos, like in here more so, but it was so, like, so miserable for my family. And then Jace got really sick and I couldn't control it. And I tried everything I could to control it, and he got what he got from me. And it was just like, I couldn't have been more miserable until finally I just broke. And it was die or surrender. Right? And we all have those areas of like, I don't want Jesus to control this area. My bottom line in all of that was, I don't want Jesus to protect my family. I want to protect my family. And mostly it came from the fact that he didn't protect the baby that I'd had a miscarriage, like, earlier. And so I was just thinking, like, he doesn't protect my kids, clearly, right? Not super conscious thought, but he doesn't protect my kids, so I'm going to protect my kids. And that just eventually, like, worked itself into this whole way of operating that had no trust. Right? And everything became an enemy, and everything became death looming around every corner. And definitely there was no trust. No, Lord, your will be done. Right? I will manage this, all of it. All right, you're not trustworthy. And the reason I use that example is because we all have areas that we do not want to let go of control in. And sometimes the Lord has to bring us into actual circumstances that confront those things head on, where it's death or choose, death or surrender. So when we find ourselves in these really difficult seasons where we have to decide to either let go, or we have to decide, Lord, your will be done, or Lord, you are good, despite the fact that I cannot see where this is going and everything I can see does not make sense. In the moment that I was deciding whether or not Jesus is good, even though he chose his will over mine, right? The only view I had was that Jord was the only thing keeping this whole place together. Because at that time, that was mostly true. I'm not saying that nobody else was valuable, but there were so many dynamics happening between the staff members and the pastors and all of these things, where Jord was like literally the glue through meeting after meeting that kept people from leaving over and over and over again. Wasn't just the school, right? He'd been asked by Steve to deal with offense between all of these different people. And so it seemed very clear that at the time, if we lost Jord, this whole place might go up in flames. Obviously that didn't happen because other people stepped up, right? But like from the vantage point we had at that time, right, Jord was the thing that made this work. And so it didn't make sense. You know, he ran the school. He was Steve's right-hand guy. He was, you know, the best teacher, the best preacher, the one that ran things when Steve was away. You know, obviously he was my husband. So none of this made sense, right? So often the circumstances that we find ourselves don't make sense. We're in the middle of a really weird season here, obviously. I'm not going to tell you guys something that you don't already know, right? But we're sitting here going, how does losing a zillion people, like, how is that practically a good thing? I mean, really, how many more Yeovil shifts can we take? How much more can we work? How many more things can happen before this place actually just implodes? Right? And we can't yet see what's on the other side of it. So we're wondering, like, Lord, is this your plan? Is this the enemy? Is it you? Where are we going? What are you doing? What if he asks us to just shut everything down? What's that going to look like? Or are we going to just try to, like, do everything we do, but with, like, 10 less people? When we were already feeling completely maxed. I didn't see how things were going to work with Jord gone. They're better than ever, right? Bottom line, knowing him the way that I know him or knew him, right? He would have volunteered to die if he could see what it is now. And I would volunteer to go through it again if I had to get where we are today, even with the craziness that's happening right now. Because this is totally worth it. And Jesus knew it was worth it. And I'm really, really thankful that I chose, Lord, your will be done. And I'm really thankful that I chose that God is good. Really thankful, right? But you're going to have these seasons too. You're going to have these decisions, these moments where you don't get a choice. You're in a circumstance that you cannot control. And you've just got to decide, is he good or not? Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, right? Actually, no, let me back up on Abraham's story some more. Have I lost you guys? No, it's the end of the day. Okay. So first of all, God says to Abraham, I want you to go to a land that I will show you. Right? You guys know this story? So Abraham packs up his whole household, all his servants, all his animals, you know, all of his stuff. And he was a wealthy guy, so he had a lot of stuff. Now, they were a more nomadic people. So it's, you know, the idea of leaving and being able to move wasn't impossible. But he didn't know where he was going. God just said, go. So Abraham goes, right? And we know some of that story, right? So Abraham starts to find out who God is through obedience. Right? Not because he knows the end of the story, but because God says to him, I want you to go. You're just going to have to trust me. So he does, you know, and later they have Isaac and they have Ishmael and all this stuff. And so we know the story about the angel, and we know the story about how, you know, how long he had to wait for his promised son. And then God says to him, and now that you have this promised son, I want you to go up a mountain and sacrifice him to me. Right? That doesn't make sense either. And if you can stop for a half a second and really think through what that would actually be like, I don't think very many of us would do it. If I could choose, after Jordan, if I could have chosen, yes, I would like to go through this again, I would not have chosen it. Right? But having gone through some of the things that I've gone through now, I would choose it. And Abraham was kind of in the same boat, right? He had gone through enough with God up until that point that he had some inkling of who he was. And it was enough for him to be obedient and basically say, Lord, you're good. Your will be done. So he takes him up the mountain, obviously, and God provides a sacrifice and Isaac doesn't die. And it says in Hebrews that Abraham's faith was perfected. His view of who God is was only perfected through trusting God in a circumstance that he didn't know the outcome of. in many ways, the only way we're ever really going to find out who God actually is by going through circumstances that we don't know the outcome of. When we can control God, when we can understand what he's doing, we're not really finding out who he is, right? Because we understand him this much. So if we have this much understanding and he only operates with what we can understand, right, then our view of him is only going to stay this big. But when we go to a place where we don't understand what he's going to do, or we don't know for sure what he's going to do, right, then when he does something that's outside of our understanding of him grows. Our faith, like it said of Abraham, right, our faith is perfected through going into the land of the unknown or up the mountain and not knowing what's going to happen. Our view of him, our understanding of him can only grow when he operates outside of what we can understand. It is easier to trust him in whatever season if we have made the determination that he's good, right? Like sometimes it's like we think that our own perspective is a negative, right? But it actually takes our choice or our perspective in the decision part, which is I choose that you are good whether I see it or understand what's happening or not, right? So like when we were given a will, we often use it to protect ourselves, to control things, to make things happen the way that we want them to happen, right? All of that stuff. But the real reason we have it is to be able to choose, I choose that you are good, I choose to believe that you are good, and I choose that I am not going to let go of that no matter what happens, right? That's the part that our determination, like that's the bit that we participate in. We can't participate in the decisions for the future or how things are all going to play out. But the only thing we can control is whether or not we're going to hang on to the truth that he is good. And if we believe he's good, then we can pray, Lord, your will be done. Like honestly and fully. And of course, you know, having walked through that in a pretty good, you know, good-sized way, you know, I'm very thankful that I have that ability to choose, that I did choose what I chose, because, you know, things are pretty good in my life. Not easy, right? Lots of things in my life are not easy, but things are really good because I chose. And when we choose that you're good, no matter what, then that keeps him close. So that, you know, going back to what I started with in the teaching, right? That moment where everything kind of came to a head, like, I thought you said this. And his response was, right, you prayed, your will be done. So in the choosing of your good, I chose that I would rather have him close than understand or get to have a say in what I wanted, right? So like we want to punish God for not giving us what we want by keeping him far away, right? It's like you didn't give me what I wanted when I wanted it. Now I don't want you, right? And that is very much the way that you're never going to succeed, obviously, right? But if we're willing to submit or surrender our own wishes, desires, and understanding, then he's going to be right there with us. And if he's right there with us, then we're going to be fine. You know, and each one of us has a circumstance where, you know, we're going to need him right there with us because we're going to be called on to live things out that we don't want to do. Even if it's just working at the gym, right? On days where that is everything you don't want to do, the only way you're going to get through it is if Jesus is right there with you. The only way that it's actually going to be a good thing in your life is if Jesus is right there with you. And so if you're following him, then if your life is Lord, your will be done, then being at the gym for now is part of that. So you're either going to be, you're going to let him be right there with you, and then we know it's going to turn out well, or get resentful and frustrated and go, I don't really want you because I don't want what you want for for me. And so I'd rather kind of just push you away, right? I'm not saying that's what you're choosing. I'm just saying, all right, either we've got the God who's right there with us, or we're going to push him away because we don't like what he's bringing us into. And we get to choose all the time, every day, you know, on the easy stuff and the hard stuff, you know? So if Jesus is right there with you and your posture is, Lord, your will be done, I'm with you, whatever it is, then you'll get through that day. You'll forgive. You're not going to hang on to offense because Jesus is right there with you, challenging your heart.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Refuse Ordinary. We hope you were encouraged, inspired, and even challenged to seek more of who God is and who you are in Him. If you have any questions about the School of Transformation or would like to apply for our next semester, please go to transformationschool.org or send us an email at info@transformationschool.org. See you next time.